RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great to have Joe as a regular part of the Correct Weight program. And Joe, as I welcome you in this morning, racing in Queensland, certainly the feature yesterday, and Dawn Passage, a star of the show, so to speak. And we'll get a little bit more of an insight into the background of Dawn Passage as we get through the show this morning.
Good morning, Warren. Yes, great to talk to you, as always, on a Sunday. Terrific racing, wasn't it, in Queensland yesterday? And lovely to see Dawn Passage get the rite of passage into the Stradbroke handicap. The connections of this horse, which is very talented, have been sweating on a position in Queensland's premier sprint race for quite some time. And his win yesterday cemented that. He's got an interesting backstory, and he's a horse that hails from Mill Park Stud in South Australia. They are renowned for breeding top-class horses around Australia, multiple Group 1 winners, and they also have a connection to the horse we highlighted on this segment last week, the very good two-year-old trained by Gerald Ryan Peltzer, having consigned that horse as well. But Dawn Passage has hailed from the hallowed grounds of Mill Park Stud, and the general manager of this renowned South Australian nursery joins us on Talking Horses this morning, Chris Watson. How are you, Chris?
Oh, very well, Joe, and good morning to you both.
You would have been relieved, like all connected to Dawn Passage, to see the horse win yesterday and secure that spot in the Straddy.
Absolutely. No, it's a massive thrill to watch this horse just come through this preparation and just improve like he has physically and mentally, and absolutely thrilled to gain a berth in the Stradbroke.
The backstory of Dawn Passage, he came through Mill Park Stud. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, look, we've had some every horse that we sort of sell, we sort of claim to be raised off Mill Park, so we like to follow our horses and the mares and their progeny the whole way through their sort of life cycle. So we don't tend to trade too much at all. And this colt was one of those horses. He was owned by a really good client of ours, Harry Perks. We've had a long association with Harry for decades. And it's been a really successful partnership with Harry. It was another one of his really good horses. So we picked Melbourne Premier Sale was the sort of sale to highlight this horse at, but he right from the way, from the beginning, he was on the farm, just was an impeccable style of horse. But what sort of really struck us was his temperament the whole way through. He just, every time we did a new bit of education with him, he took to it really, really well. And that was the whole way through to the Melbourne Sale, where Julian Blaxland really liked him as well, and I think one of the attributes I think really struck out for him was also his temperament. So he's been a very, very good-looking horse and a great horse to deal with the whole time we had him.
Yeah. They paid $150,000 for him at the English Premier Yearling Sale in 2018, and it's proven to be money well spent. And as you say, yeah, he was a very good-looking yearling. A photo posted of him last night on the BreedNet website when he was a yearling. He's a very attractive, well-developed horse at a young age.
No, he really was. And, you see a lot of young horses from foals, weanlings through to yearlings just go through these sort of growth spurts, and they sort of change their whole time as they grow. And, you know, you go back through your ratings and you sort of adjust a little bit when they're going through these sort of ugly stages. But this was sort of one of the rare few that no matter what stage of his life, he was always really well rated and a very good looking horse. And he's just obviously carried that the whole way through.
He's by Dawn Approach. Have you had much to do with his progeny?
We sort of really did like him. You know, we've had obviously a broodmare Ben on the property that's just not purely concentrated on the commercial sprinting side of things. We've got quite a few breeders that like to sort of breed a middle distance staying sort of horse, and Dawn Approach sort of ability to sort of be exceptional over a mile sort of was very appealing to quite a few. So we bred to him reasonably well. I think there was at least half a dozen mares from our broodmare bands and owners' mares that were sent to him. But I think Dawn Passage has turned out to be sort of the best one.
And interestingly, he's the eighth foal, Chris, and the sixth winner for the pensioned Raja Lane, which is also the dam of the Group 3 winner Dinkum Diamond.
Yes, so it's a family that's been nurtured by Harry and us here at Mill Park for quite some time, and it was fantastic to see a pedigree like that finally really gravitate towards some more really good looking black type horses, and it's I think Dinkum Diamond will certainly looks like she's going to be a terrific broodmare to carry on that legacy of Raja Lane.
Well, she's already produced a very talented horse in Graf, hasn't she?
So, look forward to watching her future very closely.
And, Chris, the connection to Pelter, we highlighted this horse on the program last week and had a great chat with Gerald Ryan, who very highly rates the colt, and we look forward to now seeing what he can do come the springtime. They're bypassing Queensland with him. Tell us the backstory of him. He came through Mill Park as well.
Yes, yeah, he's owned by, the dam of him, Miss Otto, is owned by another really good friend and client of ours, Sam Scafidi. So he loves to race a lot of his stock, and this is one of the very few that he decided to sell. Generally, he keeps his fillies and sells a few of the colts, but this is one he decided to sell. We thought it was a very, very forward, so you think, colt, and hence the reason we took it up to the Gold Coast. And he was certainly very, very appealing to a wide range of people inspecting him up there. And it's great that he's ended up in such a good stable as Gerald Ryan's. And I was chatting to Gerald a couple of days ago after that last win, and he said he was such, it was a big dilemma for the ownership group there on which way to go. But I think Gerald's got some big belief in him, some big goals next season for him.
The honour roll of Mill Park Stud is well celebrated. Incredible the number of top-class horses that have come off the ground there. The list includes the likes of Devil Moon, Divine Madonna, Gold Guru, Faulkner, Happy Trails, Mummify, Princess Cope, Rebel Raider, and the list goes on and on. It's famous for being limestone country. It's a 10,000-acre farm based near the Coorong National Park.
Yeah, that's right, Joe. It's certainly not a traditional thoroughbred growing area, but we're far removed from most other sort of areas. I think the Bross is probably the one area in South Australia you can call a sort of a traditional thoroughbred breeding area. But it's always been well renowned for growing out stock here in South Australia, and I think we're quite close to the coast, obviously, and I think we're very sort of have a very sort of temperate sort of climate here, so we don't get extremely cold or too hot. We've always got sort of a balance of the temperature through our area here, and it sort of allows us to really nurture the stock on the farm and just allow them to sort of grow quite comfortably out to the finished product. But I think it's a combination of everything. We've got a very great climate here for growing horses, but we've got a fantastic team here on the farm as well, which really concentrate heavily on their nutrition and spend a lot of time on pedigrees and genetics. And I think it's a combination of everything that we do that allows us to sort of get some tremendous success that we've enjoyed in the short term.
And one of the keys to that success must surely be the fact that the horse enterprise, which has been established on 2,000 acres, has an average paddock size of 40 to 50 acres. So these horses have plenty of space to run free and grow out on very good ground. So a low stocking rate has to be one of the reasons, surely, that you have so much success. And also there must be some magic in that lucerne hay that's grown nearby too.
Yeah. No, look, I think we're very lucky that we've got an operation where we're pretty self-sufficient. And I think you're dead right. The ability to run these horses in smaller groups and in large areas certainly is one of the key sort of ingredients in the recipe that we've had for this success over time.
Any other young horses floating around in the paddocks out there that we might hear more about in the coming months or years, do you think?
Oh, we're always very hopeful, Joe. You know, it's fantastic that we can get a range of horses, you know, obviously away horses over the short courses. But, you know, it's great that we can sort of also concentrate on some of these horses like the Derbies with Warning and things like that. So we're always very, very hopeful that there's another little lovely horse coming through into the sort of group races in the future. So there's a few there we hope can make the grade again next year.
And for you running the show there, Chris, it must be enormously satisfying to see these quality horses consistently coming through season after season.
It's a massive thrill, it really is. I mean, it's a very family-run operation with my parents, Peter and Serena, and my wife, who I'm very lucky to have, as she does all our vet work on the farm as well. It's tremendously satisfying for us as a little family-run operation to see the success continue on. But it certainly is a real passion for us, and it certainly makes it easier to get up the next day when you know you're dealing with such, you know, lovely stock day in, day out.
Chris, lovely to chat with you this morning, and congratulations on another Mill Park stud success story.
Thank you very much, Jo.
Sounds like a nice place to visit, Warren.
And you prick my ears with that honour roll and going to have a look. Faulkner, Happy Trails and others. So there's just been a range of horses. And as Chris mentioned, I think his audio might have cut out there, away game in recent times coming through that operation, and so many horses that you mentioned with Chris that got over a little bit more ground. And gee, what a good horse Divine Madonna was.
Yeah, she was a great fast finishing horse, wasn't she? But a good story behind Mill Park Stud, producing very good horses over a long period of time off that amazing property. Love to go there one day.
Yeah, and that was one of the features of racing in Queensland yesterday, was the win of Dawn Approach. Chris Wallace certainly to the fore with the first six across the line in the chairman's. What was your take from your perspective, Joe, on racing in Queensland yesterday?
Yeah, there are a couple of other black type winners worth mentioning as well. Tony Gollan had the Quinella in the listed Helen Coghlan plate, with, of course, Shalwa opening her stakes account in that race. The story behind Shalwa, well, she was bred by Sheikh Mohammed, of course, and now advances her record to 7 wins and 5 second placings with earnings of just over $300,000 after beginning her career under the training of Mick Price. So she's the only foal to race out of the elusive quality mare Futoon, who is a daughter of the exceptional race mare Flitter. Remember her, whose 9 wins included the Group 1 BATC Doomben 10,000 and what was then known as the Winfield Classic. Shalwa, purchased by Tim Stakemeyer for $130,000 at the 2007 Inglis Australian Easter yearling sales for Toon, had just one more foal, and that was a 4-year-old unraced sister to Shalwa named Ish Raka before being retired. So Shalwa is now stakes winner number 96 for the former Waikato resident O'Reilly, who died in December of 2014.
Other performances of note there, Joe, and I think if I'm not mistaken, Shalwa now races in the colours of friend of the show, Seamus Mills.
Indeed, she does. And you're right, yes, Seamus has been a great contributor on RSN in recent times, Melbourne-based bloodstock agent. Hassan's Vanna Girl, she won at yesterday's Pam O'Neill Stakes, and is proving to be a very good little horse, isn't she? The backstory of her, well, she was a bargain buy, Warren, purchased for just $40,000 by Edmunds Racing out of the Vinery Stud Draft at the 2018 Inglis Classic Yearling Sale. She's now got a record of 6 wins and just under $270,000 in prize money. She's the 5th winner from 6 to race out of the talented Redoute's Choice mare Logan's Choice, which was a $250,000 Easter yearling out of the De Gea mare De Souba, a half sister to the Group 1 winner Naturalism and the Group 1 Queensland Oaks winner Crystal Palace. So an interesting story there. Vanna Girl is a half sister to the stakes placed Plucky Girl, and another great horse for the Edmonds stable she's shaping. Logan's Choice has a yearling filly and a weanling colt by Star Turn, and Vanna Girl is now one of 16 stakes winners for Husson, which now stands at Aquas Farm, very cheaply too, at a fee, Warren, of just over $5,000.
Something very special about that win of Vanna Girl yesterday. I don't want to get myself carried away because we did see a filly emerge a few years ago now and become a superstar of racing and really came to light during a Queensland carnival. But, gee, I was impressed with that win of Vanna Girl yesterday. One of the hot topics in horse transport at the moment, Joe, is how we're going to be able to move horses around internationally for the spring carnival. But a bit closer to home, there's been some issues with transport between Australia and New Zealand. Can you give us an update on the latest situation there?
Yeah, well, it was basically suspended, which was a huge concern for everybody in the horse industry, both in Australia and New Zealand. Australia is the largest export nation for New Zealand, with 856 horses so far this season crossing the Tasman. And last season, we had 1,246 horses coming from New Zealand to Australia traded. So very important that we have those barriers lowered again because of what's happened with this virus that a horse had contracted. So basically what was announced late this week is that New Zealand horse exports to Australia are set to resume. And that's after an interim testing regime was put in place that will allow the resumption of these horse exports to Australia. It was following a positive test, Warren, in a North Island-based mare for one of the two protozoan species known to cause equine pyroplasmosis. So the new testing protocols that will be put in place will incur an extra cost as the additional testing requires specialist expertise, and this required work will be subcontracted to an Australian laboratory with the required skills. So the new regime, which results from talks between agriculture officials on both sides of the Tasman, was agreed amidst a growing optimism that the positive test for this returns by the imported mare will prove to only be an isolated case. The horse was imported to New Zealand by Cambridge Stud for breeding purposes in February of last year. And at the time of import, it is important to note, Warren, for the credibility there, that the horse did meet all of New Zealand's requirements, including testing negative for T. equi, as it's shortly known, within the required 21 days before shipment. So she'd undergone all full quarantine requirements in Britain before export and in New Zealand on arrival. But things changed upon her release from quarantine.
You would think that Henry Plumtree and the Lindsay family are due for a change of fortune at Cambridge Stud. They have had some very unfortunate incidents in recent times. And as you outlined, all the precautions were taken there, importing a mare to breed from, and then that eventuates. That's sad news for all concerned. But fortunately, it looks like the situation in some way can be resolved to allow horses to head back into Australia from New Zealand.
Yeah, Warren, and IRT put out an official release of their own this week indicating that travel would recommence early next month. So come June 1, Warren, it's all happening.
Yes, well, we can even start getting back to the Emerald Hotel, which will be fantastic. The boys have got an OB there from tomorrow morning. I don't know if the bar will be open, but I'm certainly looking forward to getting there. What about racing around Victoria yesterday, particularly at Caulfield, Joe? Any highlights there from your point of view?
Yes, it was a good day of racing at Caulfield yesterday. We'll run through the results and the pedigrees there. The opener, Warren, was won by Valaquenta, a colt by Street Boss out of Yavanna, which is a Redoute's Choice mare. Valaquenta related to a number of winners, Isilmo, Kemantari, Pellurian and Telperian. The second race yesterday won by Broadway and Forth, a daughter of Smart Missile out of a Statue of Liberty mare, Broadway Harmony, trained by Mitch Friedman, related to winners Broadway and First and Old Blue Eyes, so very well named this filly. the third race yesterday at Caulfield, which was a benchmark 78, won by the Hayes team's Rubon Blue, a four-year-old gelding by Artie Schiller out of a Fastnet Rock mare, Blue Petite. This horse was purchased out of the 2017 English Premier Yearling Sales Warrant for $80,000 from the Swetnam Stud Draft. The fourth race at Caulfield yesterday, run over the mile, won by Right You Are, a three-year-old gelding by So You Think, out of a Reading mare, Like a Ding, related to a winner, So You Like a Right You Are. The fifth race at Caulfield yesterday, benchmark 90 over 1,200 metres, won by Greg Urell's four-year-old mare, Great Duchess. She's a daughter of Camford Clips, out of a Danerich mare, Great Dane. The sixth event on the card at Caulfield, run over 1,100 metres. Tavistan was too good, a four-year-old gelding by Tavistock out of a Volksrad mare, Evanescence. Tavistan was sold at the New Zealand Bloodstock Premier Yearling Sales in 2017 for $135,000. A benchmark 84 race, the seventh event at Caulfield yesterday, won by All Too Hewing, a five-year-old Entai by All Too Hard out of a Perugino mare, Madam Flurry. Related to a number of winners, they include Danish Twist, Happy Trail, the horse we mentioned earlier in the segment, Heart of a Lion, Petraeus and Unique. And race 8, the Vale Kevin O'Brien handicap, the benchmark 84 over 1400 metres. Heptagon was the winner there, a six-year-old by Jimmy Shoe out of an O'Reilly mare, Seven Shillings. Heptagon related to winners Emily Margaret and Fascinate Me, and was sold back in 2015 at the New Zealand Premier Yearling Sales for $150,000. And the final race at Caulfield yesterday, Warren, run over 2,000 metres, won by Mahamedis, a five-year-old gelding by Magnus, out of an elusive quality mare, Elusive Magic, related to winners King's Men and Magic Is Might.
Due for that win was Mahamedis in the last. Joe, we'll have some Group 1 pedigrees to look back on next week with the Stradbroke and the JJ Actions being run at Eagle Farm over the Queen's Birthday long weekend. Really looking forward to that. Thanks for bringing us up to date this morning.
Pleasure, Warren.